Here is still the same. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for His goodness to me. A lot of times, you know, this isn't heaven. If you haven't noticed by now, this life isn't heaven. Even if you're saved, this isn't heaven. This life's still a mixture of good and bad. Amen? Even as a Christian, it's a mixture of good and bad in this life. It's a mixture of ups and downs. There are valleys in this Christian life. But I'm thankful that we have a God who is there, a God whom we can depend on, who is faithful, who is true, and who is good. Amen. There's a lot of unspoken requests right now in the congregation. Families and extended families of the congregation, there's a lot of needs, a lot of concerns. I have unspoken requests and needs and concerns. And as you hear the prayer request, a lot of times our minds can be overwhelmed with the difficulties. Man, because this life has difficulties. It has trials. But one truth I think is foundational in our faith as Christians. There's a bunch, but one helps hold me steady through that. And I'm going to preach on that this morning. That is that God's good. Amen? God is good. If your faith can take hold of that God's good and that God loves you, you can have an assurance, even in the depths of trials, that all is going to be well. Amen? Doesn't mean that everything turns out exactly the way we wish it would. But we can have assurance that all is well. And I think that assurance, that peace, that is the marked difference many times between a Christian in this life and one who doesn't know God. It's having a peace and assurance and a confidence within that allows us to experience the joys of salvation as life goes ups and downs. That don't mean you won't be affected by life's ups and downs, because I am. That's one of the reasons I'm preaching this morning. I need assured. I need that reinforced, because out there everything screams, life's out of control, disaster's ahead. Amen? And that's Satan when takes the events of life and interprets them that way. That God don't care, God isn't in control, everything's coming unglued, there's nothing but gloom and doom ahead. But I have to tell you something. We live in a world that's different from that. The correct worldview, this is God's world. God ultimately is in control. Not only ultimately, God's very concerned today about what's happening, and He's very concerned about you and me. Amen? We're going to take our text this morning from Psalms, the 31st chapter. If you want to turn, I'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day You've given us. We thank You for the opportunity to come together and be encouraged in song and in testimony and by Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You've afforded us this great opportunity to strengthen us in our walk with You. Now I ask, as we look into Your Word this morning, You'll help us by Your Spirit, guide our mind, guide our words. Help us, Lord, that we might impart by Your Word and by Your Spirit strength to hearts and souls in the battles that we're in. Help us, Lord, to be a people of faith. Now help me, Lord, in the speaking. Help the hearers in the hearing by the administering of Your Holy Spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Many times in the Bible, the Christian life in particular, but this life is described as a war, as a battle, right? We are in a war. We're in this time world, this is a war. It's a war against God and the forces of Satan. It is a war of good against evil. It's a war for our hearts and minds. I mean, there's a war going on between the forces of good and the forces of evil. You see it played out on all levels in our society. But it's also what complicates it. Not only are we battling without, but at the same time as Christians, there's a battle going on inside of us. Amen? Not just the external battles we face, but there's a battle inside. And that battle's for our heart and mind. Amen? Will we believe God? Will we believe His Word? Will we believe what He revealed about Himself? Will we believe His life and His death? Will we really believe and accept that in faith and let it have the effect it ought to in our own heart and mind? Amen? It's a war for our love and trust. Ultimately, what God's after is a relationship with you and I. It's after our love. He's after our trust. That's what He's ultimately after. And that's demonstrated in our obedience. But what God's really after, the core of it, is our love and trust in Him. Where we see God as He really is, then respond to Him in love and trust and faith. That's really the core of the battle that we are in. One of the truths that I believe is essential to helping us win that battle is that God is good. Psalms 31, verse 19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Another translation renders that, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you've stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you." The text proclaims, "How great is thy goodness." As I said before, I think one of the keys to victory in the battles of life is to maintain a view of the goodness of God. Amen? Satan tries to distort that all the time. Satan tries to distort our picture of God into something that isn't trustworthy, something that isn't lovable. Amen? He tries to distort our view. You know, I thought of Moses. God revealed Himself to Moses. Amen? Moses had an impossible task. I mean, really, if you think about it, he was called to deliver a nation of slaves, not a small group of people, probably in the millions, from the most powerful kingdom on the face of the earth at that time. One of the most powerful ever, but one of the most powerful on the face of the earth at that time. Then, not only deliver them, but he had to lead them through a desert where there wasn't no food and water and sustain them. That's only possible by God's help. Amen? And Moses' plea to God was, "Show me who you are so I can know." And I want you to see what God showed Moses so that Moses could persevere in trusting Him in an impossible situation. Exodus 34 and 6 says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth.'" What did Moses see when he seen God? He didn't see a powerful flaming sun. He didn't, in his brilliance, because God is described as that at times in the vision of heaven. He didn't see His mighty power of shaking the rocks in the earth, which He can. But what God showed Moses for him to persevere in this impossible task was His goodness. He said He's merciful. Compassionate. You know what it means to be compassionate and merciful? That means your heart goes out. You extend. How many times did Jesus, I challenge you to read the miracles that Jesus wrought that are recorded. Most of them, and I mean over half of them, it said Jesus was moved with compassion. That's why His heart went out to Him. That's the God we serve. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. I need that at times. Patient. Slow to anger. Abundant. Abounding in goodness. Love. And truth. And faithfulness. That's what God showed Moses. That's what Moses, now that's the Old Testament. That's what God showed Moses when Moses requested to see who he was. Amen? He showed him his goodness. He showed him his character. Do we see what Moses seen in God? Amen? Because what God was, what God showed Moses, is what God is yet today. He's good. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He's patient. He abounds in goodness. He abounds in love. He abounds in faithfulness. God is good. Amen? In the trials of life, in the battles of life, the difficult circumstances of life, we need to see God. We need to see the goodness of God. That He's concerned about us. That He's merciful. That His heart goes out to us. Amen. That He's patient. And that He's good. Satan will try and paint a picture of God in our mind that's distorted. I mean, he always does. Because when you really, I really believe this, when somebody really sees God as He is, sees Jesus Christ as He really is, sees God as He really is, when they really see that, their heart can't help but be drawn to Him. That don't mean everybody gets saved. That don't mean everybody turns their life over. But there's a drawing that's there when people see God as He really is. Because He's altogether lovely. He's altogether to be desired. Amen? Satan's going to try and paint a picture in our mind that distorts the goodness of God. that hides the goodness of God, that tries to tell us God is something other than fair, something other than concerned, something other than patient, kind, and good. Amen? We need to see God, to see Him as He is, and keep His goodness in view. I really believe that a correct view of God is essential to true faith, because it's essential to trust. People that you don't believe are good, you will not trust. You may place yourself at their disposal, but you won't trust them. You won't yield yourself fully in trust to someone you don't believe has your best interest at heart, someone who's good. For us to really have faith means that we yield ourselves in trust to Him. And that's essential, that we know the goodness of God. God is good. It's a core part of His being. God's goodness is a core part of His being. It's who He is. God's good all the time, in every situation. God's always good. God's holy. Isaiah 6:1 said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And the one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth's full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." This was a powerful display of God. I mean, His presence filled that area, right? I mean, the smoke, the cry, but he got a vision of God. But what did he see? What were they crying? Holy, holy, holy. What is holiness? God is holy. Amen? Holy is doing that which is right and that which is good. Amen? Holiness is doing that which is right. Holiness is also that which proceeds from right intentions, that proceeds from a heart of love. It's doing what's right for the right reasons. That's God. He always does what's right for the right reasons, for the right motives. Amen? 1 John 4:8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Amen? God is love. We know God loves us, right? He proved it on the cross. Hey, you get in a tight spot and Satan's going to scream, "God doesn't love you." Hey, God already proved it in a way beyond any other way He could that He loves us. Amen? He came, humbled Himself as a human being, and submitted Himself to die for you and me. Amen? He proved His love for us already. God is love. God is good. God will always do what is right. Do you hear me? God will always do what's right. God will always do what's good. God will always do what is best. Amen? You know why? For Him to do less than that, He ceased to be holy. And for Him to cease to be holy, He ceases to be the rightful ruler of the universe. It isn't God's power that makes Him the rightful ruler of the universe. It's His holiness. It's that He's worthy. Amen? And it's His holiness that makes Him worthy to be the ruler. Amen? God always does what's best, what's good, what's right. In every situation, that means God doesn't delay any longer than is necessary in right and good. God always does at the right time. God always intervenes in the right way. Amen? It's also God's goodness that caused Him to judge and punish sin and evil. Amen? God doesn't always just forgive. God brings judgment. But that's also rooted in His goodness. Amen? It's out of God's goodness that He judges sin and evil in this world. It's out of God's goodness that bad consequences follow bad choices. Amen? It's all part of God's goodness. You know, I say that. And we look at God's word and we give mental consent to that. But really maintaining and holding that as a true belief in our heart is what makes faith strong or weak. Amen? It's when we're able to grasp that God is good and that goodness carries over into His love and His care for us. That's when we're able to grasp by faith and maintain our faith in God. Don't let difficult situations in your life keep you from seeing God's goodness. You hear me? All of us have been there. When things go in reverse, when things don't turn out the way we think they ought to, when we suffer, amen, real loss, we are tempted to begin to believe God's not quite altogether fair. He don't care for me like I care for my kids, or He wouldn't have let this happen. We begin to think that way. But don't let difficult situations keep you from seeing God's goodness. Sometimes life gets pretty dark. There are times we can't see very clear. Amen. There's times in my life where I didn't hardly see enough to make the next step. I wasn't seeing down the road very far. Isaiah 50 and 10 says, "Who's among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." This is talking about somebody that feared God and obeyed, and yet was in darkness. This isn't the darkness of sin. This is the darkness of confusion, of not being able to see our path clearly. What are they to do when we come into a dark place? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Maintain your trust in God. Even when you don't see His goodness, where you can't discern His goodness about you at the moment, hang on to it. Amen? You know, there's times when we don't necessarily experience the love of someone who loves us, right? Because we may be separated by miles, and we may not have the comfort of feeling their love, of experiencing their love at that moment directly. But we can still know their love, even though they're distant, right? Because of what we know of them. And it's that way in life sometimes with God. Sometimes you may not be able to find God in the sense of feeling Him. I didn't jot it down, but Job said, he said, "I went forward, I went back, I looked to the right, I looked to the left, I couldn't find God." And then you know his conclusion? "But God knows where I'm at." And sometimes we're that way. We can't find Him on the right hand, left, front, or back. We can't perceive Him. We can't find Him in the sense of that assurance of getting a hold of Him. Yet we can know that He still cares about us. He still loves us, and He knows right where we're at. Don't let life's problems hide the goodness of God from you. Don't let the circumstances of life dictate your trust in God. This Christian life's often a life of faith, folks. That means we are depending on things we can't see, things we yet hope for. Amen? And the basis of our hope is our confidence of God's character. You know, if we only love and trust God when life's going our way, do we really have faith? Come on. I know that's tough, but think about it. If we can only have faith and love God when it's going our way, how much faith do we really have? We need a firm faith and a trust in our God, whether things are going our way or whether we're out in the middle of the storm. Amen? How strong is our confidence in God? Is God good? I mean, I know we read these scriptures, and I know we say this, but I want it to be in my heart and your heart in a greater way that God is good. Amen? Whether it's going my way or whether things are adverse, that God is good. Maintain a confidence in His character. We all go through some tough places in life. And it's then, more than any other time, that we need to get a grip on the goodness of God. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. God is active in everything. For a Christian, this is a promise, isn't it, to everybody. Not everything works for good for everybody, folks. Some things are working for people's destruction. honest. But for a Christian, everything is turned to work for our good. God's active to bring the best, to do us good in everything that happens in life. He didn't say everything was good. Not everything that happens to you in this Christian life will be good. There are some very bad things that happen to good people. Amen? And there ain't no way to twist it and say it was good. But God is able to bring good from the bad situations. God's able to turn and work it for our good. Amen? Because God is good. We need faith in God and confidence in God in every situation. We need our confidence and faith grounded firmly in God's love and God's goodness. Psalms 42:11 says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Even in difficult times, we can continue to look with faith and say, you know, God's still going to be worthy of praise. He's going to bring me through this. He's going to work this. Amen? Yes. We're going to have trials and battles in life. That's the reality. There is no experience promised in God's Word that exempts us from trials and battles and difficulties in life. In fact, if anything, God's Word over and over emphasizes that you're going to have some difficulty in trials and persecutions in this life, right? I mean, over and over, that's set out in front of us to have that expectation. This isn't heaven. But if we want to make it to heaven, we've got to be victorious in these battles. Amen? And one of the keys to victory, to triumphing, is to never lose sight of the goodness of God. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You saying, if God was willing to send his son, if he was willing to die on the cross, then we might be saved. Would he withhold anything we really needed to make it home to heaven? Would he withhold anything and make his death in vain? That'd be foolishness, right? Amen? How shall he not, if he didn't spare his own son, how shall he not freely give us all things? I believe that all things is all things necessary to make it home to heaven. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Those are all pretty unpleasant things there. All things that Christians may face and have faced. What should separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, stress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels or principalities or powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other creature be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what we face, nothing can separate us from the love of God. No matter what happens, God still loves us. God's still good. Amen? No matter what happens, God still loves us. God's still good. You know, this truth ought to cause us to cling to God in faith and trust. Amen? When we get in difficulties, listen, when we come into difficulties, and especially when we suffer loss or reverse, there's something in us that wants to step away a little bit from God. We have a tendency to pull back a little bit. You know why? Because we're disappointed. We ain't been treated right. Self-pity. You know, all of us do enjoy a certain dose of feeling sorry for ourselves when things go wrong, right? I mean, that's it. Come on. You know this is the truth. We all do it. We all do. To some extent, feel sorry for ourselves. Say, woe is me. I've got it tougher than anybody else. Man, this shouldn't happen to me. I'm trying so hard to do right, and look at what happens. Come on. And in doing so, we're tempted to step back a little bit. But if we know the goodness of God, that he loves us, concerned about us, and he's good all the time, he's still working for our best in this situation, it ought to cause us to cling to Him. Amen? To run to Him. See, I don't understand. I don't see what's going on. I can't make sense of none of this. But I know You love me. I know You're working for my good. And I'm going to trust You. Psalms 36 and 6. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of Thy house. And Thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of Thy pleasure. For with Thee is the fountain of life. In Thy light we shall see light. Oh, continue Thy loving kindness unto them that know Thee, and Thy righteousness to the upright in heart. That ought to be our prayer in difficult times. That ought to be our response when things come off, when the wheels come off the wagon. Amen? That truth ought to also cause us to rejoice. God's people are to be a happy people. In life, it's a mix. And I don't mean if you suffer great loss, you're going to jump up and down and be happy. But I do mean that we can maintain a tenor of joy. So often our joy is robbed because we fear something is going to happen, not what has already happened. Amen? As we face the future, we can face it with fear and dread, or we can face it with a faith and a hope in God. Amen? And I don't mean just blind optimism, but I do mean I look for the best and trust for the best and pray for the best for the future. And cling to God in that. And when something adverse comes, I adjust to it and do my best to continue to trust God and see His goodness even in that situation. Amen? Psalm 70 and 4, let all those that seek Thee rejoice, be glad in Thee. And let such as love Thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Amen? We experience His love and we know Him. Then we ought to be saying, what a great God we serve. Amen. Let Him be magnified. I want to challenge us this morning. I've been in a difficult stretch. I have fears of the future. I know there's a large number of unspoken requests in the congregation that I don't have answers for. Amen. Tough situations. But our God's able. We're either believers or we're not, folks. Amen. It ain't enough for me to just be religious and hang around religious people. We're either believers, which means we either believe God or we don't. Now, that don't mean you don't struggle with doubt sometimes as a believer. But I mean, I want to challenge us to be believers in God. That we believe God's who He said He is. That we believe what God said. And that we act out in our life, a life of faith, a life of joy, a life of trusting Him, amen, as a good God. Remind yourself of the goodness of God. Read of God's goodness. Read of God's love. Read of God's faithfulness. I spend a whole bunch of time in the Psalms. I really do. Because when I need reminded who God is, David speaks so often to our emotional side as well as our intellectual side. And we need that. And I go to the Psalms to see who God is, to see His faithfulness. David so often in Psalms would express, I was low, but then I thought of God, you know, and it'd be up. Or I was oppressed, and then God left me. Amen? You can see both sides of it. And to an extent, you can begin to relate to those. But see God's goodness. Read of His goodness. Read of His love. Read of His faithfulness. Remind yourself of God's goodness to you. Amen? Life ain't all been disaster behind us. Sometimes we get a look at ahead, and we let Satan convince us it's nothing but disaster ahead. And we turn around and look a little bit. God's been awful good to us. God's worked out a lot of things. God's done a lot for us. Amen? Remind yourself of God's activity in your life. God did not begin a work in you to abandon you halfway. What did He say? If He begun a good work, He's going to continue it to the end. Isn't that what He promised us? Amen? Don't allow Satan to distort your view of God. Don't allow life's problems to hide the goodness of God. Just because you can't figure it out don't mean it can't be figured out. Just because you can't find the goodness of God or how that situation could possibly be allowed by God's goodness doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan in it. Amen? Don't let life's circumstances dictate your trust in God. Amen? Your kids, your grandkids, the world around you needs to see Whether life's up or whether life's down, we have confidence in a God that loves us and is going to take care of us. Amen? Praise God for His goodness. Not only in the victory, but also in the battle. By faith, praise God for His goodness. And I don't mean, say, you know, I claim that God's going to work this out exactly this way, blah, blah, blah. That sometimes can lead to foolishness. But what I mean to say is, God's good. God's working for my good. God's going to intervene. God's going to do what is best. Whether it's what I think's best or not, God's going to do that which is best. Because those around us need to see the goodness of God. Amen? God's goodness is most seen in the lives of His children. You know why? Because they're the only ones that clearly see God active in all phases of life. It's by your expression of your confidence in God and God's deliverance of you, the ones around us can see God is good. Amen? It's by our faith and our trust in God, the goodness of God seen. You ever, I've sometimes not met an individual, but met someone who knew them. And they'd say, hey, I'd trust him with anything. You know, he's a man of his word. He's a straight shooter, whatever. And it's his witness of that that gives me confidence in that person, either as a business person or to work with or whatever. How much more our words ought to be showing those around us that we have a God who's trustworthy, who's good, who cares about us. We're His witnesses. Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. God's good all the time, everywhere. You're going to face things in life you don't have an answer for, because our wisdom is not complete. I gave up a long time ago trying to figure out why in many parts of life, because we're not able to take in a lot of the flies. But this I can take in. God loves me. He's proved it on the cross. He's proved it in my walk with Him. God's good. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He's proved that in my life and my walk with Him. And that's what I rely on in the dark days, in the fears of the future. That's what I rely on for a firm grip of faith. Amen. I want to encourage you. I know you're in some battles. I know some in some difficult spots where we really don't have the power to do what needs done, nor do we have the wisdom sometimes know exactly what does need done. We have a God that has all that. You're His child. Trust in His goodness. Amen? Because God is good. As you stand, we sing a verse of song in closing.